Chapter 1. Boundary Zone. Hugh of Emblin, sometimes known as Hugh Stormward, was staring off into the distance, across the dunes of the Endless Urg. He wasn't really focusing on anything in particular, just staring.
"Hugh," Kandaron Crux asked, "are you listening to me?"
Hugh glanced up at the crystal-winged sphinx, who dwarfed most barns several times over, who had lived for centuries, who had helped bring down the greatest empire to ever exist, and who could destroy him without more than the slightest effort, and grunted. Kandaron glared down at him, pursed her lips, and blew. Hugh was sent tumbling backwards into the sand.
"You could have just knocked him down with a paw. You didn't need to cover us all in sand," Talia complained.
Kandaron glared at her too, and the short red-haired girl subsided promptly, though she muttered to herself as she brushed sand off the blue geometric spell-form tattoos that covered her body. The seven of them stood atop a small sand dune in the south of the Endless Urg, a great sea of rolling dunes. To the east, the mighty Skyreach Range loomed overhead. To the west, the Endless Urg stretched uninterrupted for hundreds of leagues. Or at least five of them stood atop the dune. Kandaron stood at the dune's base and still loomed over it, while Hugh just lay in the sand, moping.
"Up you go,"
Godric said, leaning down to haul Hugh to his feet. The massive youth, 7 feet if he was an inch, lifted Hugh up as though he were a child.
"Beyond here," Kandaron continued, "you're on your own. This is the farthest southern extent of Skyhold's territory."
"This is the farthest extent of your territory, you mean," Sabé said.
The tall, scarred girl was spinning gusts of wind around her body to get the sand off.
"We've already left the extent of the territory Skyhold could hold without you."
Kandaron arched an eyebrow at Sabé, but continued.
"Beyond this is the buffer zone between Skyhold's territory and Lothal's," Kandaron said. "Try to behave yourselves in Lothal. Relations with Ampioch have been strained enough in recent years, and I really don't have the time to deal with a diplomatic incident if you irritate him. I have more than enough work repairing the damage Pokori did to Skyhold."
Hugh found his attention drifting again, only to be nudged gently by Godric's father Arta, who stood on Hugh's other side. The huge battle mage was every inch as tall as Godric, and weighed even more, most of it muscle. A gentle nudge from Arta was still almost enough to send Hugh stumbling. Hugh grimaced, but he focused his attention back on the conversation. Arta and Godric were from Lothal, so he should be able to go to them for anything he had missed.
"Mentioned the increased risks from Lothal's cults at the moment," Kandaron said. "It's best to stay out of the manoeuvrings of cults whenever possible. A lesson I think you all learned well enough last summer. I'll never understand why so many other great powers tolerate or encourage them."
The great sphinx rustled her wings, and the hovering blue crystals chimed against each other musically.
"How many cults are there in Lothal at the moment?" Sabé asked.
"Too many," Arta said. "I wouldn't bother keeping track. They change like clockwork."
Hugh tuned out again and stared back over the sand, keeping watch for a familiar set of sails he knew were nowhere near here. Eventually, the conversation wrapped up, and Hugh turned to head back to their own ship with the others.
"Wait a moment, Hugh," Kandaron said.
Hugh stopped and slowly turned to face Kandaron, who shifted closer to him.
"You," Kandaron said, "are sulking."
"I'm not sulking,"
Hugh replied quietly. Kandaron raised one massive eyebrow at that, and stared at him for a long, uncomfortable pause, broken only by the gentle chiming of her crystalline wings.
"You miss the Radhan girl," Kandaron said.
"Her name is Ava,"
Hugh said, a little heat creeping into his voice. Kandaron sighed, making Hugh's clothes and hair flutter.
"Believe it or not, Hugh," Kandaron said, "I'm not mad at you for sulking, nor even for not paying attention. Irritated? Yes, but not angry. I've been dealing with adolescent humans for centuries. This is an utterly normal part of your lives. I even factor it into my education plans for students. The only unpredictable part of it is the precise timing, and it's hardly that unpredictable."
Hugh, if anything, felt even more irritated at that. Kandaron reached out a great paw, which vanished into the air. She shifted as she rummaged around whatever extra planar surface she had reached into, her front leg disappearing farther and farther into it. Finally, she grunted in satisfaction and pulled out her leg. Held delicately between two of her enormous claws was a book, which she tossed on the sand in front of Hugh. He immediately recognized it, though it was smaller than it should be.
"Why are you giving me an index node?" he asked. "And why is it so small?"
"It's a communication diary, a type of modified index node I give out to all librarians errant," Kandaron said. "You're not a librarian errant just yet, but as you're packed to me and are prone to an inordinate amount of trouble, I've decided that we need a more convenient way to stay in touch with one another. This node lacks the functionality to search the index itself, instead only possessing the communication and encryption enchantments. It's quite mana hungry, so make sure you're safe before using it. It will, circumstances allowing, enable me to advise you or even come to your rescue in an emergency."
Hugh slowly picked it up and ran his hand along the spine, feeling his irritation at Kandaron fade away.
"Thank you," he said quietly.
"I'm merely protecting my investment in you," Kandaron said. "And we will be conducting lessons through the book as well, so don't expect this expedition to be a vacation."
Hugh felt the corner of his mouth twitch a little.
"I didn't exactly expect a search for an enchanted city-killing weapon to be a particularly relaxing vacation, Master," he said.
Hugh could swear he saw a hint of a smile in response on Kandaron's face before she returned to her habitual look of irritation. She nodded at him, and wings chiming, she launched herself into the sky. Hugh started trudging back towards the ship, his momentary amusement already forgotten, his thoughts back on the horizon. When Hugh reached their sand ship, the Ox of Indris, there was a loud argument coming from the deck. Hugh sighed, then levitated himself up to the deck, lacking both the energy and inclination to climb the ladder. The lumbering freighter from Theras Tel was nothing like Ava's family ship, the Moonless Owl. The Ox was a massive, slow, ungainly beast of a ship that had to steer around dunes of any decent size, rather than climbing them. Its sand runners were splintered and patched, and its sails were even worse. Hugh landed on the deck to find the ship's first mate arguing with a Lustin.
"That damn book has been fighting with the ship's cat again,"
the woman shouted.
"Strapping a pair of knitted cat ears to a 2-foot-long spider really doesn't make it a cat," Alustin said.
"Precious likes her ears," the woman retorted. "And it's traditional to always call the ship's rat catcher a cat, whatever it actually is."
"That's absurd," Alustin said.
Before he could continue, the first mate spotted Hugh.
"Stormward!" the woman snapped. "Call your damn book and keep it at your side.
Hugh sighed, then pursed his lips and whistled. He heard a clattering from above. Then Hugh's spellbook leapt from the drake's nest and flapped its way down to him. The green crystal book didn't need to flap its pages and cover to fly. It had just picked up the habit from the grimoires in Skyhold's grand library. The spellbook settled contentedly in Hugh's arms atop the index node. He sighed, plucked the knitted cat ears off the spellbook, and tossed them back to the first mate. Hugh had no idea how the spellbook had managed to get them on in the first place, nor did he particularly care. He was glad the first mate wasn't giving him the usual Theran deference and awkward staring, but the yelling wasn't any better. He wished it had never been made public that he'd built the ward that had saved the desert city last summer. Hugh would take being ignored over being yelled at or idolized any day of the week. He turned and walked off before either of them could say anything else to him, and went down the steps into the hallway with the passenger cabins. He was sure Sabe would get irritated at him for not using proper terminology. Everything on board a ship had some weird nautical name, but Hugh honestly couldn't make himself care at the moment. Hugh let himself into the cabin he shared with Godric, crawled into the top bunk, and rolled himself into a fetal position facing the wall. Or bulkhead, maybe? He hadn't even bothered taking his boots off, not caring that he was getting sand in his bunk. Talia scowled at Hugh as she watched him trudge below decks.
"How much longer do you think you'll be sulking for?"
Godric asked. Talia almost jumped out of her boots, not realizing her oversized friend had snuck up on her.
"Why would I know?"
Talia said, trying not to let her voice squeak.
"Why are you asking me?"
"You are sort of the expert on Hugh's moods," Sabe said from her other side.
Talia actually did jump at that. Sabe gave her a mildly surprised look.
"You must really be worried about Hugh if you didn't even notice us walk up."
Talia glowered at her.
"I'm more worried about my stomach once we get moving again," she lied. "Anyhow, I thought you two were planning to ogle that pretty deckhand more."
Sabe looked vaguely offended.
"We're not ogling him, we're just..."
She looked to Godric for support.
"We're definitely ogling him," Godric said. "Especially when he decides he doesn't need a shirt."
"Traitor,"
Sabe said. Talia sighed and made her escape as the two started arguing again. It was still weird seeing Sabe expressing romantic interest in others. And she was still vaguely offended that Sabe was turning to Godric for advice on men rather than to her. She didn't notice several deckhands very quickly jumping out of her path or nervously eyeing her hand, resting on one of her sheathed daggers. Hugh would be fine. It had only been a short while since Ava had dumped him. He just needed time, was all. She realized with a start that she had gone below decks without meaning to and was standing in front of Hugh's door. She reached out to knock, then slowly lowered her hand. Talia scowled, but before she could make up her mind, she felt the ship lurch, and her stomach lurch with it. She quickly dashed for her room and the chamber pot in it. Not to mention the enchanted glass sphere Hugh had loaned her that absorbed unwanted smells. Alustin glanced at the hatch that Talia had gone into, then over at Sabe and Godric making nuisances of themselves.
"Is it just me?" he said. "Why are they acting more dramatic and ridiculous than usual?"
"It's the stress,"
Arta said, cutting open a brightly coloured fruit with a knife.
"What stress?" Alustin asked. "There's no one attacking us. Nothing dangerous going on."
"Exactly," Arta said. "They spent the entirety of last year caught up in that ridiculous business with the council. Not to mention just surviving a battle that killed a lot of fully grown mages." With everything that's happened to that lot, I'm shocked they've not turned into shivering wrecks already. They're just burning off the stress is all.
He took a bite of the fruit. Its insides, in sharp contrast to the outside, were pure white, dotted with pitch black seeds. Alustin grimaced.
I was never that bad when I was their age.
Arta swallowed, then chuckled.
I was one of your teachers, remember? Ye most certainly were. Stones, you're worse than that steel.
Alustin glared at the bigger man and sniffed to show what he thought of that. Arta just smirked and took another bite. He was still amazed that Arta had decided to join them on the ship. The Stone Mage almost always took the roads through the Skyreach Range when leaving Skyhold, rather than take a ship across the Endless Urg. Alustin wouldn't complain about that. They were likely to need all the extra firepower they could get on this trip.